Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. I'm Paul Zeiss. It is the Fan Late Shift. We were talking about the Steelers, but we started off talking about the Pitt Panthers. Continuing a trend in Pittsburgh sports of late where teams here just can't seem to find a way to win. Hell, even the Pitt women's volleyball team is like, you know, one of the best teams in the country, and it was like 90, you know, they were like 51-1 or something. Ended up getting upset this weekend in the NCAA tournament. But anyway, you know, like I said before, Steelers, two-game losing streak. Pitt football, two-game losing streak. Penguins, two-game losing streak. And now tonight, your Pitt men's basketball team loses to Niagara. Here to talk to us about it is our good friend from the Post-Gazette, Craig Meyer. Craig, this is after, you know, a few weeks of taking steps forward, this was clearly a little bit of a step back, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think this is kind of, you know, I'd probably call it sort of a pump the brakes moment where you've got a team that's been really impressive so far that surprised a lot of people, myself included. In terms of how well they've played and really just how capable and confident that they've looked, even dynamic and really fun to watch at times. But it's, you know, it's not that uncommon to see a team that's outside some of the top levels of college basketball drop a really unexpected non-conference game. I was kind of waiting for Pitt to have a moment like this. I didn't think it was going to happen against Niagara. I mean, that was a team that, you know, even though they won tonight, they had, you know, they've lost games against both of the St. Francis's, so PA and New York, lost to a Grambling State. Part of that came because they were without their top scorer, but they're without their top scorer tonight. Really seeing what they were able to do against Pitt, it was pretty, you know, for that team, I would have to think it was pretty jarring. You know, where your past two games, you come off of just narrowly losing to Iowa on the road in a game that they should have won, and then you beat your crosstown rival by 21 points. And Jared Wilson-Frame, you know, I had heard in the update earlier on your old station that he had basically just said, like, yeah, like, I think we're feeling ourselves a little bit too much. Got on a little bit too high of a horse there. And when you do that, you kind of leave yourself susceptible to games like this and moments like this. And that's what we saw happen tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I think that really, if you really think about it, Craig, tonight's game to me was sort of one of those games where a young team that's kind of growing up and trying to figure it out, they need to understand that, you know what, if you don't play hard, everybody at this level can beat you, right?
Yeah, no. You know, and Jeff Capel, you know, touched on it afterward too, basically saying, like, I ideally don't think that you need losses like this, or I wouldn't want us to have losses like this, to learn that. But this is at a time of year where it's difficult to kind of digest and accept right now, but I think it's a lot better for them to maybe see this in early December than when you get to a really winnable ACC game where you're playing like a Wake Forest or a Georgia Tech, and the same thing happens to you. Not that they would be looking past those games at all, but it's kind of interesting too, because I mean, I think that we pin so much of this on youth and experience, but really there are three freshmen who really seem to carry them tonight. I mean, you know, they combined for, I think, 43 of the team's 70 points. They shot 14 of 27 combined, but they did showcase some of the worst aspects of this Pitt team tonight. I mean, I see here they combined for for, it looks like, this is very compelling radio here, reading a box where they combined for 13 turnovers. So they kind of epitomize that feast or famine mindset with a freshman, you know, where they can give you a lot, but they can also help take a lot away from you, you know, and leave you more, you know, and leave you more vulnerable against teams that, you know, in under most circumstances, you'd be beating with probably little or no problem.
Yeah, the thing about it, though, you know, is with this team, the one thing that is a little bit nervous, that makes you a little nervous, is they not only got out-rebounded by Niagara, they got out-rebounded pretty significantly.
Yeah, no, you know, and that was, you know, and as we touched on earlier, I mean, they did that, you know, they were able to do that, Niagara was, without a guy who averages 20 and 20 points and 11 rebounds per game for him. So I think that has to be something that's really, you know, that it's really concerning for them. I think we all knew, even against Iowa, although I was surprised how well they did against Iowa, we've known that the bigs are the most glaring weakness for this team, you know, and I think that we saw it tonight where they got in some foul trouble, where they were ineffective, they were getting pushed around quite a bit, you know, and we had seen Jeff Cable go with a, you know, they were for very brief stretches, you know, maybe a minute or two, but you saw him go with something that I've kind of wondered if he would do, go with more of a small ball lineup where he puts Audis Tony, you know, who's a 6'6", but I think easily the team's best rebounder. He puts him at center, basically, you know, and they just try to see what they can do with that. I'll be interested. I don't think West Virginia is the game, given some of their strengths, where you're going to see that as much. But I'll be interested to see if he maybe tries to go that route a little bit more this year. Because, yeah, you know, as you know, like Terrell Brown, you know, was decent offensively, had 6 points, but, you know, when you have one player, Tony, finishing with 9 rebounds, nobody else had more than 3. I mean, that's indicative of a pretty serious problem.
Yeah. No, there's no question about it. But my point is, if you get out-rebounded by that much by Niagara, what's going to happen when you get into the ACC?
Yeah, no, I think mean Zion Williamson will probably take it a little bit easy on him and finish with maybe 15 or so. But
Yeah, really. Jeff Capel said some interesting things tonight. You know, I kind of like the fact that he really doesn't make a lot of excuses and also doesn't really want to talk about moral victories and things of the such.
Yeah, no. You know, I think part of that, you know, could probably be dismissed a little bit as a coach speak, him trying to put a good face on things. But, I mean, from the brief time I've gotten to know him, this is very reflective of the person he is, you know, where he's just a very stern and serious guy who really, you know, who really, like, even in a situation like this where you have to grade so much on a curve, he's really a no BS kind of guy where, yeah, you know, even if they end up losing to Duke here in 2 months by like 3 points, he still won't be very happy with it, you know, because that very well, could have been a win. He could have been feeling a lot better. And I think that he wants to hold his team to a higher, a little more difficult to attain standard, because I think that he feels that that's really the only way this group will improve and get to the point where he thinks that they can get to. You know, I definitely commend him for it. I mean, I know if I were in his spot, I probably, you know, for posterity purposes, I probably would have toned it down a bit. But after the Iowa game, I probably would have walked into that press conference, you know, smiling and laughing and, you know, being incredibly happy with how things transpired. So I, you know, with the approach he has, I give him a lot of credit for it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the thing about it is, it is holding his team to a higher standard. I do understand what he's saying, that you don't learn necessarily from something like this, but I don't agree with him.
Yeah, no, you know, I think that you can learn something from this, and I think that they will. But yeah, you know, I think that he, you know, I think it just goes back to that same ideal, though. And I think he knows too. You know, I think he's very, image conscious, where he doesn't want to be the guy, you know, who's coaching his ninth game here, you know, who's still trying to win over kind of in a fan base that's been hurt here over the past couple of years. I don't think that he wants to be the guy who comes into a press conference after losing to a team picked to finish ninth in the 11-team MAC. Like, I don't think he wants to be the guy who walks in there being like, yeah, you know, tough. It was a tough loss, but you know, I think a lot of good will come from this. Now, that may be the truth. You know, we may be looking here in a couple months, and Pitt is, you know, 5-5 in ACC play, and we could kind of point back, you know, to a game like this where we see a consistent effort from them every night, and say, you know what? I think some of that comes from that Niagara loss where they learned a really valuable lesson. But in the moment right now, I don't agree with him. I think that they can learn a lot from this loss, but I get why he's doing what he is.
I think the interesting thing to me always is that when you really take a look at this whole thing, Craig, there are different degrees of these kinds of losses. I know a few years ago they lost to Montana and they lost to Long Beach State, and I was talking about those losses. Those teams actually had legitimate Power 5 guys, guys that had transferred. They actually probably, both of those teams probably had at least two of the five best players on the court. So those losses, you know, but this is the kind of loss to me that you can't really have if you're a team like Pitt, because I just did not think Niagara was very good.
No, you know, and not to take too much away from Niagara, but yeah, you know, that wasn't a game where, you know, like last year when Pitt lost, when they lost to Montana at home, which at the time seemed, it was like an apocalyptic occurrence. At that time, like, I thought that team was pretty good. I think that was only Pitt's second game of the season, so we didn't really know what they had at that time, aside from thinking it probably wasn't very good. But this game, I was impressed with what Niagara was able to do defensively. They kind of settled into a zone, limited Xavier Johnson, a decent amount, largely kept him out of the lane, didn't let Pitt do a lot of dribble drive. But I thought they did a pretty good job defensively, but other than that, you know, it was kind of I just wasn't overly impressed with them. I thought, again, not to take too much away from them, I thought they kind of lost the game more than they wanted. I think it's the kind of game that you look back on. And you kind of, ideally for Pitt, it's one that, in like 2 or 3 months, you can kind of look back on and almost even laugh at, like, what the heck happened that night. Or we could also look back and say that this night was a sort of indicative, or there was almost an ominous quality to it that, that was the first sign that even with the 7-1 start, that this is a team that if you play against them a certain way, that they can be beaten. They're inherently flawed, and some of these other things that we're kind of getting to know here. I think undeniably it's a really, really tough loss. I don't think it's one, where you can even fall back on the, hey, that was a pretty good team. I think when you lose to a 2-4 team without its best player, there aren't too many ways you can really spin that.
Last one for you, Craig. This weekend they play at West Virginia. I don't think this is a great West Virginia team. In fact, I was talking about the fact that I think West Virginia is probably going to struggle to be an NCAA team. So to me, this would be a nice opportunity for them to get a win on the road.
Yeah. I would have said going into, before today's game, I would have given Pitt, I mean, this was the one game going into the season that I looked at. I was like, there is no chance that they win this at all. I can't envision it happening. Then after West Virginia loses to a Buffalo and a Western Kentucky, Grant, two pretty good teams, especially with a Buffalo, who's up to, I think, number 17 now in the country. I think after those two losses and seeing how Pitt looked, especially against Iowa, I was kind of more in the boat. Like, I could actually give them maybe, a 25-30% chance of a win this one. I think it's I think it's a dynamic Pitt team. I think it's a West Virginia team that's struggled a little bit more and is maybe a little more flawed than we thought they were going into the season, because I just kind of assumed, you know, with Bob Huggins and enough guys coming back, they'd be all right. And, you know, they may very well figure things out as the year goes on. After today, though, I, you know, it may be a bit of a prisoner of the moment type of a mindset here, but it, my those percentages have gone down quite a bit. But then again, you know, could go back to the whole learning a lesson thing. Maybe this really jolts Pitt. They have an incredible week of practice, and they go into West Virginia focused and determined in a way that they haven't been in any game this season. So, you know, it could be something that catches us completely by surprise, kind of like what today did, but just on the opposite side of the spectrum.
Craig, great stuff as always. Thank you so much for joining in, and we will talk to you soon, I'm sure.
Awesome.
All right.
Thank you, Paul.
That's Craig Meyer, the Post-Gazette. I'm Paul Zeiss.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.